Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On WGR. Coming up here on the show, we've got a couple of guests that we'll get to, including the new club president, also the PGA Pro to join us as well. Also, Kevin Sylvester, of course, normally part of our team. He is at the Valero Texas Open working for PGA Tour Radio this week, so we'll check in with him in a little bit later on the show. Our PGA Tour leaderboard, our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, Ryder Cup Report, Champions Tour Report, all of our normal features here. Coming your way as we roll on here from East Aurora Country Club. And we'll say good morning to Jeff Metis.
Good morning, Brian. Good to see you.
Same here. Thanks for coming in, as always.
I made it this week. How about that?
That's right.
Yeah, it's a little frosty out there, but I think everybody's got the golf bug. This week looks like it's going to be a lot better for golf, so I know I've gotten out a bunch. I'm antsy to play again.
Yeah, and you've been playing, which is a good
thing. Been playing, yeah. It's been fun. I got the bug. You know how it is. Yeah,
that's right.
Once you get the bug, it's tough to get rid of it. So
We're happy to be here. I know this is one of your favorite places that we come on our annual tour of going around Western New York.
Yeah, well, 15, 18 years we've been coming here, and I love the room we get put up in. Everything, it's one of the best fireplaces in the area, and the course is beautiful, and it's actually quite nice. It's frosty out there, and you know, it looks beautiful this morning, but can't play. It's frosty.
That's right. It is a little frosty, yeah. But we hope all this week looks great in terms of weather.
Yeah, we're going to be playing a lot of golf this week, hopefully.
For sure. Okay, if you've listened to the show in the past, you know PGA Pro David Jones is a normal guest here. We'll have him up in just a few moments, but we've got another guest to join us here right away, and it is the new club president, and hopefully I get this right here, Ann Wolaszynski, right?
That's right.
Ann Wolaszynski.
Morning.
Good morning, Ann. Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
Same here. So how is 2021 feeling for everybody here at East Aurora?
Well, other than a little cold today, it feels great. We're really excited this year. We've got some great membership levels, and we're excited to get going.
That's excellent. So you're taking over this year. So what has that been like for you?
You know, it's been fun. So our board terms are 3 years. So this is my third year on the board. Honestly, it's busy, right? We have a lot to keep our eyes on. We always want to make sure we're in a fiscally strong position. And there's a lot going on, but it's a good spot to be with the number of new members we have. We're really excited, and it's going to enable us to spruce things up here a little bit.
What was the thought in mind? Like, is this something you wanted to do for a while to become club president? Is that, or did it kind of
just serve and then you ended up?
Yeah. Or were you told like, hey, this is the next step?
Yes,
a little bit of all that, right? So my brother's been a longtime member here at the club, and he's a past president, and he had sort of told me along the way, you know, everybody needs to take their turn. We're a member-owned club, so we all share in the responsibilities of keeping this great place going. So a couple of the current board members approached me a few years ago and asked if I'd be interested, and I went for it a couple of years ago.
So is it a one-year term?
It's a three-year term on the board, one-year term as president.
And the cool thing here, no tee times.
No tee times, yeah.
Yeah, that's
really important to us.
Yeah, it seems to be a dying part of the golf business world, but you still don't have them here. That's awesome. You can walk out and play anytime.
That's right. Yeah, the members kind of figure out, everybody sort of has their slots. Yeah. We know when the peak times are. We know we all sort of have our regular groups, but it's really great to be able to, you know, wake up on a Saturday morning and decide, yeah, I'd like to go play today. I'm going to hop in the car and go out there and not having to, you know, plan for it for a week or two.
Well, it works out too, because the 7 a.m. people play at 7 a.m., you know, and they come out, you know, then 9 o'clock's come out at 9 o'clock. And yeah, so people, they find their level with that, and it usually works out great, I think.
Go ahead.
The other thing that's great too is, you know, we don't have a lot of cliques here. I mean, there's certainly groups that like to play together, but I'll come all the time on my own and just find a game that morning. And, you know, Dave and Kevin in the pro shop are great. They'll find you somebody to play with, and it's a great way to meet the other members of the club.
And so, I mean, it's in some sense, it's kind of an old school mentality in that sense of today, where technology is everywhere and convenience is everywhere, to go that route, which I think is kind of neat. What are some of the other things you feel like makes East Aurora unique in terms of some things that, you know, you'd want to tell people about? Yeah. If they say, hey, what's so great about being a member here, or in your case now, even the club president, what would you say?
No, great question. And to be honest, I've never been a member anywhere else, but it really has a great family atmosphere here. I mean, we're more of I would call us more of a golf club than a country club. Mm-hmm. You know, we're casual. We like to have, you know, some formal events, but I almost sort of think of this place as my Cheers, you know, a little throwback for, yeah. I might be dating myself a bit, but you know, you can always walk in, you'll find somebody you know, you'll find somebody out on the course to play with. It's just a very relaxed, casual atmosphere, and you know, we like to think of ourselves as one big family.
I always thought, like as you said, you can walk out and find a game. One of the coolest things about golf is getting all the people you meet, and you walk out and you spend 4 hours with someone and you pick their brain about their business or their industry or their family, and it always made it cool. And so I think that's neat that you have stuff like that. And you guys take a lot of pride in some of the other events you host here. You've got a history of the U.S. the Master, the Junior Masters, everything else. That's member run, right?
That's member run. The membership, we close the course to play for us for a week. We've been running it since, I think, 1953. Traditionally, it's been a field of 80 boys, and one of the things I'm most excited about this year is we're going to have a girls division for the first time. So we've already got some great talent lined up for that. Single digit to scratch players, and we're really excited. So hopefully people will come out and watch these girls play.
There's a lot of girls in the area that are very good. Yeah, a lot of. I was a college golf coach. I know who they are. Yeah, so that'll be really cool. Having daughters, I think it's the best thing in the world that you're adding that to your event. I'm very, very happy to hear that.
Yeah, we're excited for sure.
Yeah. And the pride around that event, just from being here the weeks of watching it, like you can tell the membership, like not only, as you said, they give up the course for the week, but knowing of hosting these junior players and to see the support that I think that you guys give this tournament, I think it's one of those cool things about Western New York. We have these unique sort of events, and I think it's on display that week for sure. Me just being here, just kind of coming as an observer, I think you guys do a great job with that.
Yeah, it's really a unique opportunity too locally. I mean, you know, we start the tournament on Tuesday. Tuesday and Wednesday there are stroke play rounds, and then Thursday and Friday go into our match play. And you know, if you want to come out on Friday, where we've got the semifinals and final rounds going on. You know, you can walk the course, you can get up close, see the play. You know, we try and really treat it as a, well, it's not a professional event, we try and give that touch to it. And I think the kids really enjoy it, right? We, you know, there's a lot of people following them. They get a lot of attention. We're starting to, you know, beef up our social media feed on it as well.
Yeah. Anwell Lazinski with us, the club president here at East Aurora Country Club on Tee to Green on WGR, along with PGA Pro Jeff Metis. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for joining us. Kevin Sylvester, of course, part of our show. He will be with us later in the show. He's working this week at the Valero Texas Open, so we'll have an update from there a little bit later on. Also, PGA Pro David Jones here from East Aurora coming up in our next segment, but we still have a few more minutes here with Ann. Just one more thing on the girls division. I'm sure, obviously, you coming in here, also the first female president of this club here too, the pride factor of adding this girls division. One of the things that why we do this show is that we want to grow the game of golf. We both love the game of golf. Jeff's worked in his entire life in it, but to be able to grow the game like this for young girls, and then maybe other girls will come out and watch, I mean, I'm sure that's got to be a big pride factor for yourself too.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the what it brings to, you know, playing golf, playing other athletics, you know, the skills, the life skills it teaches you, we're really excited about that. So, the leadership, the discipline, the competitive skills that it'll help build in these girls and the boys that are playing. Yeah. I think that's one of the best things. And it'll be fun.
For sure. No. What's the toughest job of president so far?
What's the toughest job? Everybody has an opinion, right? So just sort of sifting through everybody's opinions on how things should be done.
Is it worse to be the handicap chairperson or the president?
good question. I'm not going to take that other job.
Yeah, that one is always tough, especially, Jeff, when you've been pros at other courses and places where that sometimes they come to the pro, they want you to solve it all for them, right?
Yeah, I could. I got a couple stories, but yeah, it would take a little while.
Well, Ann, thank you so much for having us here today. The course, we know it's always in great shape. Drew Thompson and his staff, I know, do a great job. And obviously, with David on the golf side doing a great job. So you're in good hands with the rest of your staff. And we wish you luck this year with your first year as president. And thanks for having us here.
Great. It was great to be here. Yeah, we've got one of the best staffs in town.
Thanks so much. Ann Wolosinski with us, the club president from East Aurora. We'll take our first time out here on Tee to Green. And David Jones, the PGA Pro, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the golf course, a little bit more about junior golf, and we'll get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. That's coming up next right here on Tee to Green as we are live at East Aurora Country Club on WGR.
Listen up, golfers. It's time for our Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond.
Back here on Tee to Green at East Aurora Country Club. We're really happy to be here this morning. Hope you're waking up with us. Thanks for joining us here on WGR. Brian Colsey along with PGA Pro Jeff Midas. Kevin Sylvester working this week for PGA Tour Radio at the Valero Texas Open. We'll be checking in with him toward the end of the show just to get a quick update on what's going on the PGA. They have 1 week before the Masters, which we'll talk about a little bit as well here as we roll on. Okay, our next guest here. The PGA Pro, David Jones, is with us. David wears many caps here as well, working very hard.
Yeah, he was here bright and early waiting for us when we got here at 6:20. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. David, good morning. Thanks, as always, for having us.
Good morning. Always a pleasure to be with you guys.
For sure. A little frosty this morning, but I know it's going to be great weather this week, and you've already had some golf. Golf is off and running here already this year.
So, Western New York, we always are in the winner's circle when you're playing this many rounds of golf before the Masters week. That's sort of our goal target. Mm-hmm. If you are active and running by Masters, I think you're in the right start for your season. This year, we were off and running March 19th. Several days that we've had over 100 rounds going through. So it's we can tolerate a little bit of a frost right now because we've sort of got it out of our system to start the year.
Yeah, I know the average opening date typically is around the first week of April. So if you get anything before that's gravy. I always try to tell people that and just let it go on. Now you're making some changes to one of your most infamous holes here at East Aurora, aren't you?
We are. And I don't want to let too much out of the bag. We'll encourage certainly for some of our members to bring some of their guests out here to check it out. But number 10 has always been a hole of conversation. I won't say always positive, but certainly sometimes. So we've explored through our architect an opportunity to sort of move the hole a little bit more friendly to the right. So some of the trees on that hill, if everybody is aware of 10, it was really a target shot off the tee. It's going to open up a little bit more off the tee box, and also took some trees down from a sight line that border the par 3 number 13. So as we were just discussing earlier, it's going to be more of a golf hole versus a steer and hope shot off the 10th tee. So we're really excited to be able to move forward with what we thought was likely one of the best improvements that we could. Our golf course is fantastic. There's not a lot to improve. But I would say that if there were an area, that would be the one that would probably have the most conversation around the bar afterwards.
I feel like we're seeing this trend overall, Jeff, where courses maybe not only are returning to what maybe the original designs were, but even just on holes where there's more decision involved. Wouldn't you say that's kind of the case in terms of like options, in terms of how to play it and things like that? And obviously maybe with 10 now, there's going to be more risk reward involved in terms of maybe will you be able to see the green a little bit more now too, even?
Well, you won't necessarily be able to see it. Yeah. We're sort of in the process of where it needs to go, yeah. But it's a more free swinging shot off the tee box. So
I think architecturally you're seeing people get rid of trees and push, you know, parkland golf courses. This is a parkland golf course. Over the years, they tend to encroach, you know, they grow and it also makes it more fun. You know, if there's, you know, I'd like finding my ball after I hit it, you know, and a lot of golf courses, even Oak Hill, you see, they got rid of a million trees at Oak Hill and it makes the turf better. There's just, you know, I think people are starting to go in that direction more and more lately. The, you know, we all love big, beautiful trees and they look great on a golf course, but sometimes they've gotten too big or they're not in the right spots anymore.
Agreed. And you know, when trees were originally put out there, they didn't plan 40, 50 years, 60 years. So they do encroach and they do change things. So I don't think you should cut every tree down, but certainly you should be proactive in maintaining your golf course as it was designed to play.
Yeah. Drew Thompson, the great superintendent here. I know one of the best things about this course is it's always in great shape. And I know you getting a chance to work with the staff always is one of the parts that, of your job that you enjoy. But part of this time of year is getting the golf course ready. And I mean, obviously from the parking lot here, seeing the holes that I could see from there, it looks like it's ready to go here.
He is a magician, super talented, makes my job so easy. When you have somebody in his chair that's as personable to the membership and as talented with his craft, I couldn't be in a better chair from a golf professional and somebody that's trying to maintain our membership levels.
David Jones with us, the PGA Pro here at East Aurora, along with Brian Colziel and PGA Pro Jeff Mitas, Corey Griswold producing back in our studios. Thanks for being with us here on WGR. We spoke with Ann last segment about the IGM. That was one thing I know that you take a lot of pride in as well. Exciting news, adding the girls players this year too, and a field I know obviously that you normally have that's very strong. The disappointment of last year, we know so many great local events, of course, due to COVID, unfortunately didn't happen, but I know you guys are excited to be bringing it back this year and hopefully in full capacity.
We started meetings last year nonstop. Yeah. We have not stopped looking forward. We always held out hope that we would conduct it last year, probably false hope, but we certainly poured all of our energy. Our committee was nonstop getting ready for this year. We are so excited to get back to an event that we are super proud of. It's a long time coming. We certainly missed being able to provide that for both the golf club, for the community, and most importantly for junior golf.
Yeah, I know you and Jeff just recently recorded one of our TD Green Academy series that we're going to be pushing out this weekend. You can look for it on our social media pages. But one thing I know that you and Jeff are both passionate about, and I'll throw myself in there, having a young 11-year-old boy that plays golf too, is junior golf. The International Junior Masters, of course, promotes junior golf and great junior golf. But I know you guys are talking about this on our TD Green Academy series here, which, again, we'll be pushing out soon. But as we get to our Western Europe PGA Tip of the Week here, maybe last year with the pandemic, maybe one of the things that your son or daughter got involved with or anybody listening was you took them golfing for the first time. And maybe they have the passion for it or they're really itching to start to get to play. Can you give us just a thought here? You've done so well with your children involved in golf. You work with juniors here about getting juniors started. Like, kind of what's the procedure to get going here to get them off to a successful start where they're going to enjoy it and want to keep coming back?
Number one, fun. Yeah. Fun, confidence, reduce the pressure from a parent standpoint, from a coach's standpoint. Jeff and I share these thoughts on they're our future. We know that. And if we can encourage them to come out here without that feeling of pressure by integrating a fun atmosphere experience, there's so many avenues you can go to. Every kid is different. Every child needs to be treated a little bit differently. But fun never changes. Fun's different for some than it is for others. And I think a good instructor and a good ambassador for junior golf is able to identify that in each child and sort of get golf manifested in their passion. You want to get them passionate. You want them to share your passion, I guess, is the best way to say that. And if you can find that path with each child, they're going to fall in love with it just like we did.
Yeah, and that's, I think, that's why we play, because it's fun. And the thing I see parents do the most is overcoach. You just want to get their hands on the club, right, and let them rip at it, and compliment the good shots and, telling them to keep their head down, their left arm straight, focus on their left heel. Think about, you can't play that way. Golf's a game. Kids are great at adapting and mimicking. I always say if you got a young child getting into golf, leave the golf channel on, even in the background or whatever, so they see good golf swings all the time. And it's interesting how even your child can mimic, I can swing like Tiger, I can swing like Vijay, I can swing like Jim Furyk. Show me your Jim Furyk swing. Show me your Ernie Els, and kids are great at mimicking, and, just don't overcoach them. Equipment, though, David, I think that's huge. I see a lot of parents getting their kids into equipment that's ill-fitting, and the analogy we used is, would you put your kid in super long skis the first time they go skiing? Well, you don't want to do the same thing with golf clubs. You don't need a whole set. Just get one club that fits them well and maybe has a preformed grip or something, and let them go out and just rip shots and just get them to finish on their forward foot and swing hard. Don't swing easy. you know, you want to learn to create some speed. But, you know, anything you can do to make it simpler, more fun, that's what you want to do with the kids. And, yeah, don't overcoach them. And not to brag, but PGA Pros, this is what we do, right? How many junior programs have you run?
Countless.
Yeah, and how many years? We've all been doing it forever, and you get good at it after a while. So, you know, that's the way to go. Find a club. Most clubs will let the kids in. There's a lot of programs around town, and it doesn't need to cost a lot of money.
So you made a really good point with the equipment, and I couldn't agree with you more on that. That if golf is hard, we know that. Playing good golf is even more challenging. So if we set our children up for failure by trying to cut corners on cost, we're already taking the fun side of it out. So rather than cutting down that old club that you have sitting in your garage and putting a new grip on it, spend the extra $20, $30, $40, $50. You don't need to break the bank, but you don't need to be so cost sensitive, and you'll be so surprised with the level of excitement that the child will see when the ball actually gets up into the air without having to do something wrong to get it up in the air. So equipment is huge, and to your point, Jeff, these other programs out there, PGA Junior League, Drive, Chip, and Putt, they're there. They are not expensive, and they provide an opportunity for children of all levels, of all socioeconomic brackets, to get involved with.
Yeah, there's a company, US Kids. I like it. Probably give them a free promo here or whatever. But go on there with a website, find the right height for your kid. They're color-coded. And if they're young, and buy them one with the preformed grip so they know how to hold the club properly. Start off with one club, a 7-iron. Take them to the park and let them rip shots. It's, you know, it just has to be fun. The other thing is, if they're out there too long, they start to lose their interest. So with my kids, I always, you know, if they wanted to play four holes, we'd play three and then go get ice cream or something. So when they left the course, they still wanted more. They weren't tired. They weren't burned out. They weren't over-instructed.
Well, that was the one thing that when my son started playing for the first time, and Jeff, you were working with him, that was the one thing I noticed, is that you always kind of, you dangled the carrot, but then you cut it before he got to it, in terms of the sense of the timing of it. Like, don't have them be out there and out, oh, let's hit another bucket. Let's hit another bucket. Or let's hit, you know, let's...
We're playing nine holes. You're going to finish all nine. No, it doesn't. Yeah, right. That's not how it works.
No, like, when you got them, and then you're right. Then, okay, let's be excited about coming back. And I think that's something you don't want to have that burnout right away.
You're right. Sure. And you as a parent can identify that really quickly. If you're in the car and they're talking about the shots versus... Yeah. Maybe the ice cream that's down the road, you know you have them. If they're still thinking about it the way we always do, we replay every round in our heads, right?
Yep.
So if you know that they're talking about
it. Not all of them.
No. Not all of them. Good point. Not all of them. Those, unfortunately, are the ones that sometimes are the hardest to forget. But you know you have them if you see that excitement. And I'm at that point with my 13-year-old, is that he's starting to really appreciate the good shots, the bad shots. And we've had so many good conversations around the table just about golf. And I'm so proud that he's playing. I'm so proud that all these programs are out there, because it is. It's our future, and golf's awesome.
Absolutely.
And the PGA's done a nice job with the programs that they've created. You know, like you said, the Drive, Chip, and Putt, and the Junior League, and junior programs. Those are tremendous programs. So if you're interested in junior golf, your kid's getting into it, check out the West New York PGA's website, or check out Drive, Chip, and Putt, or check out PGA Junior League. And all great things.
And Drive, Chip, and Putt is a cool way to make kind of an exciting event that is a freak. It's free to sign up.
Yep.
You get to see your son or daughter gets to see their name on the leaderboard. They get to hear their name announced. It's not a long commitment. It's about an hour for the age division that goes. I mean, it's a really, really cool day. If you've never done it, you can, again, go to WNYPGA.com and have some info on that.
Yeah, and even to piggyback on that, you know, your son and my son, that's how they got to know each other.
Yeah.
Through this awesome game. And now you run into each other at these various events, PGA Junior League, Drive, Chip, and Putt. And hey, Jack, how's things going?
Yeah.
And would that relationship have been established without that? No, it probably wouldn't have. So that's another aspect of golf that we sometimes forget about with the kids. They're social too.
Yeah, you forget how many golf buddies you have after playing for 30 years. Yeah, and they're already making them. That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. Before we let you go, David, how about a thought on next week's Masters? We love this time of the year to watch it, because you're right. It's like the official start of golf season here in Western New York to get it going here. Well, you can save the picks for later, but we're going
to
let David pick here first here. Or if you got a thought on the tournament, no Tiger this year, of course. But we had the Masters in November, so it's like it's a quick turnaround right back here to another major.
And for anybody that loves the Masters, what better than to get it in a 6-month span?
Yeah.
I would be hard pressed to think that anybody that doesn't think Jordan Spieth is the favorite, and I know the audience that's listening to this is sharing that thought, that here he is tied for a second, now at the Valero. Mm-hmm. After coming off the last 4 weeks, he generally shows well at Augusta. So I would think that he's going to have to be the favorite amongst the talking heads out there.
It's been great to see him get his game back. He is such a fun player to watch. I love the way he carries himself. I love hearing the conversations, Jeff, with his caddy, him and Michael Grella, the two of them together. Yeah. He's great. He's a great ambassador for the game, for sure. He gets on how to represent the game the way you'd want to.
And what I really respect is he went through some really, really dark times as a player. And just through sheer effort and how he comported himself through the whole process, you know, found a way to get it back. Because it's not always easy when you're at that level. It's such a razor-thin margin between being a good tour player and a great tour player. And, you know, couldn't be happier for him. He does represent the game. You know, that's what you want your kids to be like. You want your kids to behave like that. And you see a role model like that and see how hard he worked, and there's a lot to learn from that.
Absolutely. Well, David, thank you so much for having us here as always. Appreciate it. Good luck with the beginning of the golf season here, and we'll be back later in the season for IGM week.
Thanks again. Always a fun time for me to do this, and we look forward. It'll be here before we know it, so we'll see you in a couple months.
That's right. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
David Jones, the PGA Pro here from East Aurora. We'll take another timeout here from TD Green. Kevin Sylvester's at the Valero Texas Open. We'll get a couple of thoughts from him as we return here, as we roll on from East Aurora Country Club. Thanks for being with us here on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, custom turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up. Time for a check of the PGA Tour leaderboard. Brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft. This ball is different. And also by Puma Golf Shoes.
It is time for our check of the PGA Tour leaderboard as we welcome you back here to East Aurora Country Club. Brian Colziel, PGA Pro Jeff Metis. And the Valero Texas Open is where the pros are at this week. Cameron Tringale is on top right now, -9. Two-way tie for second between Jordan Spieth and Matt Wallace as these players are getting ready for next week's Masters. There's a couple of players even in this event that are hoping to play in next week's event. They're going to have to win in order to get there. For more on our PGA Tour leaderboard, and this week we bring in Kevin Sylvester, of course, the normal third man of our team that is off working hard this week. Kevin, good morning.
Morning, Brian. How are you, man?
We're very good. Jordan Spieth with a chance to win here. This seems like a repeating pattern over his last handful of events here, and he's right in the mix again.
Well, yeah, he certainly is. You know, he's got, swagger back, but, you know, that's what some have called it. I'll just call it confidence. And, you know, he revealed a couple weeks ago that, you know, what started his swoon, if you will, was a wrist injury, right? He was dealing with a hand injury. And, you know, what worse thing can you injure as a golfer than your hands? Your feel is gone. So it's taken him a couple of years to get it back, and I think we're seeing the results of that. It's Jordan Spieth contending what has been for the past couple of months here. A common refrain, Jordan Spieth. And, of course, he'd love to win the Texas Open, you know, his home state.
Absolutely. When we were speaking with David Jones last segment here from East Aurora, he said his picks Jordan Spieth for next week. He's like the buildup of his good play here. Lends itself to him playing well next week. He's always played Augusta well. We know, you know, we could argue easily he maybe should have two green jackets the year that he kind of had that collapse on the 12th. But in general, Spieth's been knocking on the doorstep, Kevin. Hasn't broken through, though, kind of over the last, handful of tournaments that he's been right there. But regardless of whether even he pushes through this week or not, the fact that he's playing well is a good sign, because doesn't this course have some similar tendencies to how Augusta National plays, right? Haven't they kind of even set up the course that way?
Yes, they've set up the course. I mean, that's what helps attract players to come play the week before the Masters. The Houston Open, which used to be in the slot, they did that. They would set the course up as best they could, like Augusta National. And they've done the same here with the greens, putting the hole locations in difficult spots so you have to hit it in a certain quadrant on the putting surface. These aren't easy putting surface. Matter of fact, these greens are the second most difficult to hit in regulation, right behind the Riviera Country Club, where the Genesis Invitational was played. And Jordan actually said after round one that the fairways are so narrow here, if you can hit the fairway here, Augusta Nationals, it's gonna look so big, the fairways off the tee there. So that's just another aspect. And they have the fairways cut rather narrow, and if you miss the fairway here, the rough's not thick, and they don't have the rough very thick at Augusta National traditionally. It'll hop through, but the width of the rough is not very wide, Brian. You go off, then you're getting into some rocky terrain, some underbrush, prickly pear cactus. That's why you're seeing some big numbers. And, of course, Kevin had it 16 back in 2011 on the ninth hole here.
Yep. Kevin Sylvester from the Valero Texas Open here on Tee to Green. Brian Colziel, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitas. We're live at East Aurora Country Club. Kevin, of course, is in Texas where the tournament is this week. Kevin, you on Thursday, I was listening to you when you were with Matsuyama and Kuchar and Mickelson, that group, obviously a pretty exciting trio to be with. But you got to see Mickelson have an unfortunate bad moment in his round, taking double digits on a hole, which ultimately did him in. I mean, he ends up missing the cut at plus four, and he only missed the cut by two shots. He obviously had a tough moment there. I know you were right there, so tell us what happened.
Well, I'll tell you what happened on 18, but I'm going to go back to 9, where I think everything changed for him in the round mentally. He was one over par, and he had 6 feet for birdie on the ninth hole. Very difficult green to hit, hold, and get this. But he had 6 feet. And Matt Kuchar putted right before him from 8 feet, same line, and missed the putt. So he saw how the putt broke, and he missed it and ran it 3 feet by the hole, then lipped out from 3 feet. So instead of making birdie to get back to even, right, and kind of a reset on 10, he makes a bogey with a three-putt from 6 feet. Then he hooks his tee shot into a picnic grove area. So far offline. But puts it in the greenside bunker, hits an incredible bunker shot, 3 feet, lifts that up. So you're wondering what he's thinking there. Well, anyways, he kind of fights back. He's two over par. He gets to, he only makes one bogey on the way in. Gets to 18, hits a great drive, has 279 yards. That's to the hole location in the front. That's pretty much a cover number. It's Phil Mickelson. He's got the distance for it. He goes for it and then cuts it into the water hazard and, bounced in the fairway into the water hazard. It's a tough green to hit. I agree with him going for it. Phil's here to win and get a score, not just, make the cut and make a check. And so he drops and then tries a flop shot. That decision puzzled me. Like, you're already in a penalty there, like, live to fight another day, and he just tries the perfect shot. It doesn't even come close. Whiffs a couple times, sends it back into the creek, goes back to drop the other side, then just, make sure he gets it on the green, and then drains a 16-footer for the 10. Of course he makes it for a 10.
Yep.
That's better than an 11. But, I chuckle, but it was tough to watch, to be honest. I mean, to see this great champion on the PGA Tour, 44 wins, it was tough to watch.
Yeah. So Mickelson ends up missing the cut, and we know, of course, Mickelson is going to play some PGA Tour events, some Champions Tour events this year. So our Mickelson update here, we can make it our Champions Tour report, brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing, the world's finest golf apparel, the apparel that Jeff and I are wearing this morning. Kevin, we both went with the lavender stripe shirt this morning.
It's an Easter look.
That's right. It's our Easter look today. Trying to paint the scene here for you.
That was all choice.
That's right. Kevin,
Hoodie made it with me on the trip.
Very nice. Very nice. Kevin, well, I know because you love coming here to East Aurora. Let's finish with just a thought on us being here. We're in front of the fireplace in the beautiful clubhouse, like always. I know that you were a little disappointed the fact that you couldn't make it here to East Aurora today, but what do you like about playing this course here? I know that this is one of your favorite spots.
It is. Well, number one, it is always in pristine condition. I mean, it really is. They do a fantastic job with the golf course, keeping it in great shape. So you're always going to get great conditions when you play there. And I just find it challenging. You're never – I don't want to say never have an easy shot there, but you've got to really play it once to figure out the positions you need to be on that golf course to hit good shots and score well. You know, for example, like even the first hole, I just think that's such a great, tough opening hole. Matter of fact, when I did my 18 holes, you know, that coincided with their hole number from the private clubs in Western New York, which I know was very popular on Twitter with a certain listener, the first hole was my number one hole. I just thought it was just such a difficult opening hole, channeling the opening hole, where you just got to frame it right off the tee to put yourself in position in that second shot. Nobody's done. You go to that par three second hole. It's just it's routed so well, the Challenger golf game, and the par threes there are phenomenal.
All right, what's your pick for the Masters for next week?
Wow, you know, you said a name there that would be a popular victory there, and the more I think about it, I want to pick Rom, but there's no guarantee about the baby, right? So that'd be a tough pick to go. So can I have an asterisk? If Rom
sure.
plays and is able to play the whole week and his wife Kelly does not go into labor, I'll go with John Rom. If not, I'll take Jordan.
Okay. Sounds good. Kevin, we'll be listening for you this weekend on PGA Tour Radio. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll obviously see you next week for our two-hour Masters show.
All right. Sounds good, and happy Easter, everybody.
Yes, happy Easter to you as well. Thanks, Kevin. Kevin Sylvester there from PGA Tour Radio, and of course, Tee to Green. This week, he's off working at the Valero Texas Open.
He's got a cool job. You know, I think there's a lot of people who would love to have Kev's job, bombing around the country, following the tour players, up close access, watching the best players in the world play week after week at different golf courses. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was listening to him on Thursday. He was following Mickelson, Kuchar, and Matsuyama. That's three good guys to watch.
Yeah, it's not a bad day, too. You're outside. Yeah, so. And he's good at it. That's the other thing, or he wouldn't be doing it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mickelson, I mean, if Mickelson is as good to watch as there is on the course, just because you never know what he's going to do. Matsuyama's got that interesting swing where he's got almost would you call it a pause at the top or
yeah, like he gathers himself, I guess. Yeah.
What do you see when you study that swing?
I see really good fundamentals and a strong player. You know, I think a lot of people focus on that. You know, we used to kind of teach in the 80s and 90s, you know, pause at the top to get. He actually looks like he does it. It is unique to him, and it seems like a more difficult way to swing, because typically the more in motion you are, the less tension you have, the easier and more uninhibited you can be when you're swinging. To me, that looks like that would be difficult. It almost looks like he's doing a drill swing, and then he goes ahead and hits it. But whatever he does, you know, that's why we always say everybody's different. There's no one way to play great, and if you look on the PGA Tour at all the different motions and swings, there's a million ways to play great, and he does it his way.
For sure. Brian Koziel, PGA Pro Jeff Midas here. We're live at East Aurora Country Club. Thanks for Kevin Sylvester for checking in. We're going to get to our Masters picks here in just one moment, but quickly let's get our latest on the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup Report brought to you by the Jumpa Agency, Main Street in Clarence. Well, in the standings last week, Billy Horschel made a big jump as he won the match play event, and he beat Scotty Scheffler in the finals. Mm-hmm. Horschel can be a fiery kind of, I don't know if momentum player is the right word. Like, when he gets playing well, he can play with as good as anybody. He's definitely a guy that sometimes we forget about for, you know, months at a time. But then when he's playing well, he's as good as anybody. He moved himself up to 11th in the standings. Would he be a guy, if you were Captain Steve Stricker, that you'd think about? I mean, right now the guys on the outside that you'd have to think about as a captain's pick, you've got Reed is out, like he's seventh in terms of the automatic sixth.
Okay, yep.
Reed, you feel like you kind of got to pick him, right?
Maybe.
Captain America.
Yep.
Finau, Berger, Simpson, now Horschel at 11th, Cantlay, English, Scheffler, Homa, others like Kisner, Palmer, Woodland, Spieth, Kuchar, all there.
I think he's probably on the outs right now if
you'd
I was
still
captain.
Say,
yeah. You know, there's a few months left before he has to make his picks, and a lot can change between now and then. You know, I feel like they're just so strong in that area anyway. You almost can't make a bad pick at that point. You know, I'm a big Finau fan, so he'd certainly be one of my picks. And but yeah, I think he'd be out. I mean, if he wins another time or if he keeps playing like he's playing, then you might have to pick him, because you want to play who's hot, right? You know, you can't go on rep. You got to go on how you're playing at that time.
That's right. And probably there's probably a couple names that you feel like are going to be on there, and then You're right. Maybe
Patrick Reed is probably going to be on there, yes.
Yeah, then the last three or four, you probably, like you said, okay, who over the last month has been playing great?
Yeah, because you know how golf is. It's nebulous. You can't get your arms, or some days you're playing great, and you could go for a month where you're not playing well, and you don't want to bring a guy who's not confident and struggling into that format, into that event with all that pressure. It just seems like it would make it even harder if you weren't really confident.
For sure. Tee to Green here, live from East Aurora Country Club. Thanks for joining us here on a Saturday morning. It's presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Great place, by the way, to go get your clubs ready for this year. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam, and by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club, which is where we'll be next week for our Masters show, and Lancaster Country Club. So that's all here over the course of our next week's our tour. Yeah, next week we'll be at Pendleton Creek.
2 hours.
2 hours for the Masters, for sure.
Week.
We're looking forward to that. Okay, let's talk Masters here. We got about maybe 6-7 minutes left, and we're going to go for our picks here.
Okay.
Ready?
Me, yeah. Well, let's go. Yeah, all right. Well, I'm gonna go with DJ.
Okay, I was gonna say he is favored.
Okay,
he's the betting favorite, 8-1.
Yep.
DeChambeau 9-1.
Nope.
Rahm and JT 11-1.
JT might be a nice pick. I'm gonna go with DJ. He's brimming with confidence. He can bash.
So you're picking the favorite.
Yeah.
I'm
always with the chalks. Tiger.
I know.
Tiger. Is Brooks Koepka, what's his odds right now?
He's 20-1, but we still don't know if he's 100% playing yet or not.
Yeah, and he went and got engaged, I saw the other
yes.
day. So yeah, he was
he and Jenna, girlfriend, now fiance, Jenna Sims.
Yes, who's a celebrity in her own right.
We should get your Jeff's pop culture segment sponsored here on the show.
Yeah,
you always bring that portion of it.
Do I? Yeah. Actually, I feel like that's a weakness of mine, yes. Yeah, but I'm going to have to go with DJ. I'd love to pick Brooks Koepka, but like we said, we haven't seen him play yet this year, but he's strong enough that he'll come out and play great if he's able to play and his knee holds up.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many arguments to be, or so many names you could argue for.
Spieth's
here.
A good argument.
I will be personally rooting for Spieth.
As will I. Yeah.
Because we know he's playing, he's 14-1. We know he plays Augusta well. Even the few years here where he's been struggling, these last, 2018, 2019, where he's been off his game, he did have better weeks at Augusta National. He's so likable. It would be great for him to get back in the win column here next week. I think that's maybe the best story if he wins next week.
Yeah, and there's horses for courses. I know as a competitor, there's certain courses you walk onto and suddenly you feel comfortable because you've had success at this place. And you could see Spieth, he's been having success all year, but you could see him walking on those grounds again and just lighting that fire. But I think the same thing with DJ, because, he just won and he's got that fresh in his mind. And, that's the unofficial, it's the official start to spring, and it's just, it'll be so exciting to hear that Masters music again on Thursday and see that place and watch these guys stroll down the fairways. And this weekend we have the Women's Amateur there, which I think is another cool thing they do.
Yeah, they have the Augusta Women's Amateur, and there's might as well throw that leaderboard out here as well. Rose Zhang of the United States and Ingrid Lindblad of Sweden are tied for the lead.
I think Rose is the number one amateur player in the
world. She's ranked number one, yes. They're -1. They're the only ones under par. And then Austin Kim, an American, and then Olivia Mahaffey of Ireland are one shot back at even par. But for these women's amateur players, as you said, some of the best in the world playing at Augusta, it's almost now turned into like a 2-week sort of event. You have this event now in front of it.
Right.
Then on Sunday, by the way, tomorrow morning, don't forget, set your alarm and watch Drive, Chip, and Putt, the finals tomorrow morning.
That might be some of the best TV of the week, that thing with those kids. It chokes you up watching those kids come out there. And it's really cool. How about the girl in the Augusta Amateur led the first round, had a bad second round, and missed the cut. What a heartbreaker.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I know. You're thinking you got a chance to win, and then you don't even get to play the final round.
All right. So I picked DJ. Who are you picking? Make a commitment.
I would love to. We've all said Spieth in some capacity. I'll go down the board a little here. I feel if there's a first-time winner from a guy that's coming back here, I'll pick Paul Casey. I think he's been playing well. He got a win in Europe earlier in the winter time. And if he's ever going to win one, I feel like it's right around now is the time for him to do it. So he's 40-1. I like those odds.
Yeah. Lay $10 down on that. That might be worth it.
Yeah. But, I mean, there are so many guys. How about as well as Lee Westwood has been playing? he has always played Augusta National well. I mean, Justin, if he's going to win a major, could that happen?
Yeah, Justin Thomas.
Yeah,
yeah. He
hasn't won a Masters yet. He could be. He could do it there too. We know Patrick Reed plays here well. He's already won one. Mm-hmm. Then you've got some guys that are playing it for the first time, like Hovland's playing it for the first time. Scheffler's playing it for the first time. These guys have been very good. Cameron Smith is kind of a sneaky pick too. I think he could do a nice job at this. And this course also, too, brings out the veterans, the guys that know it. I mean,
I was going to say Freddie Couples. Does he always have a good first or second round at the Masters, I feel like?
But that, like, that brings in the Kuchers and the Sergios of the world. And Mickelson. Like, it does say something. And now that I was there and I can picture being in these holes, and you've been there, too, just they always say that, what is it? It's the second shot course. Like, knowing where to place the ball on the green is the most important part of playing the Masters well, right? And the more experience you have, you're going to pick that up.
Yeah, where you miss it can be terrible. You know, you just can't miss it in certain spots there because of the treacherousness of those greens. And having been, you know, it's so much slopier than it appears on TV. I know people always say that, but you don't want to have downhill six-footers at Augusta all day. That'll just make your day way too long and too hard.
The one thing about the Masters that is so great too, as we said, all the pomp and circumstance that goes with it, the music, you know, Jim Nance's whispering voice throughout the whole thing,
the honorary starters
are so great. It feels right every year, and they are going to have some patrons
on
the course. That's right, you have to say patrons, that's otherwise right. I get fined here on the radio for that. They are going to have some patrons, unlike November where they had no one there. That was kind of a weird scene. You really heard the birds in the background that they...
Yeah, yeah. And the roars are kind of what make Augusta cool. You know where the roar came from, what's going on. Like, you could tell the roar came from 13 or 12 or wherever the leaders group is, or who's making a run. When you're at the facility, you feel the electricity, and I think it'll be fun to have fans back in there because it does add to the event.
Yeah. All right, so we're looking forward to the Masters next week. Again, two-hour show will be at Pendleton Creek Golf Club. If you're wondering, like, hey, what's Pendleton Creek? It's the former Tanterra. New owners.
Yep.
And
local ownership.
No, local ownership. So we'll obviously have more information about that next week, as well as, of course, a ton on the Masters. Let's finish here with just a couple more thoughts here on East Aurora Country Club. We are inside the beautiful clubhouse. We're overlooking the 9th green and the 18th green there beyond. This is a fun course. There's not a ton of... I guess you'd call it hilly golf in Western New York, but you do have a little bit of that here.
I think you got a lot of it here.
Okay, a lot of it. Good. One thing, Jeff, for me that sometimes is a struggle is when you have like a side hill lies. Let's do a little bonus tip of the week here too, because that one is tougher. If you're straight uphill or straight downhill, like, that's a different shot, but it's the side ones sometimes that are, I think, are maybe even more difficult. So
yeah, when the ball's above your feet, it's going to tend to hook in theory.
If you're a right-hander, right?
If you're a right-hander, it would go to the left, but that doesn't always happen. What I suggest to people is those side hill lies, make a few practice swings so you know where the ground is. Get comfortable with where...
You can adjust where you're gripping the club,
right,
too.
Yeah, you want to choke up a little bit, probably, but I think practice swings near the ball help you adjust to that level change. You know, your ball can be 6 inches above your feet. That may make it a difficult shot. And the ball will tend to curve. I'm one of those guys sometimes, like, you plan on that curve and it doesn't.
Yeah, I always feel like I overplay it sometimes,
right,
too.
Because you're coming shallower when the ball's above your feet sometimes. But and then you'll tend to pull them, too. So if a right-hander, you'll tend to, when the ball's above your feet, you'll tend to, because the way the shaft angle goes in the club, it'll tend to go left. And the opposite, I think ball below your feet might be tougher because you've really got to maintain your angles and keep your bend. And, I don't like to see people with the ball below their feet. You bend more from the waist. Don't drop your butt down. People tend to bend their knees to get down to that ball, and then they sink their butt down. It makes it hard. You want to, like, stand tall still, but bend more from the waist, if that makes sense.
And that the shot when it's a side hill lie and it's below, that's where you see people top the ball quite a bit, right?
Right, yeah, because most people pop out of it a little bit and lose their spine angle, and that makes it even tougher when the ball is below your feet like that. And that ball's hard because sometimes people catch it in the neck, and it wants to peel to the right for a right-handed golfer. Yeah, it wants to go the way the water would flow off the slope typically.
Yeah, it's a course too where I get to hit all the clubs in my bag. I don't say that always, you know, when you go to play everywhere. That here, different set of irons, hybrids, different shots off the tees. So it's a really fun course to play.
And it is like a family course, you know. And they've had some of the greatest golf professionals around here. Mr. Pfister, his son EJ, and now with David, they've had a great legacy of golf professionals here.
Yeah, David does a great job. We'll be back here in June, kind of previewing the International Junior Masters. We're looking forward to that. And again, congratulations for them having a girls division this year. That's pretty cool.
That is cool. It's about time.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Want to thank the club president, Ann Wolaszynski, for joining us earlier in the show. PGA Pro David Jones. I think we saw Drew Thompson as well, the superintendent, pop his head in. So, Drew, good course looks great as always. And we want to thank everybody, of course, at East Aurora for having us here today in their beautiful clubhouse. Thanks to Corey Griswold back in our Amherst studios. Thanks to Kevin Sylvester for joining us from the Valero Texas Open. Jeff Mitis, have a great weekend. Enjoy the drive, chip, and putt tomorrow morning.
Yes. Happy Easter to everybody.
Happy Easter. I'm Brian Colziel. I'll talk with you later with the Sabres and Rangers. Sabres have been a little more fun lately.
Yeah, I'll be watching.
That's right. A little more fun.
A little
bit. I'll use the word little. That's right. Enjoy your Easter weekend. Enjoy the start of the Masters. We'll have lots on our social media pages at T2G Buffalo on Twitter, at Brian WGR, at Mitis PGA. So look for all that this week. Sign up for our fantasy league. We've got that going on. Information on Twitter. We'll have the entire show up on our on-demand audio section at WGR550.com in just a little bit. Thanks for listening. Thanks for everybody here at East Aurora. We'll talk to you next week at 7 right here on Tee to Green.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.